Aminag Nitzed. I'm here by God's grace and mercy. I want to thank CPRCNA 30 Services, a Posture in the Heart. Honored and privileged to be here, share my experience, strength, and hope, and giving me the opportunity to share in my recovery and participate in my recovery and yours. And it's a privilege. My home group is the Start to Live group in South Philadelphia, 3rd and Reed Street. We meet Sunday night at 7. Philly in the house.
Philly in the house.
All right. That's the Philadelphia region. And my cleave date is 4/18/98. And the topic... one disease, many faces. That's what I am. I'm an NA face. And my disease manifests in many ways. And it did long before I picked up the substance as a young boy. 45 years old. A little of the demographics out of the way. I want to read a little something out of It Works, How and Why. It says the disease of addiction can manifest itself in a variety of mental obsessions and compulsive actions that have nothing to do with drugs. We sometimes find ourselves obsessed and behaving compulsively over things we never had any problems with until we stopped using drugs. We may once again try to fill the awful emptiness we sometimes feel with something outside of ourselves. At any time we find ourselves using something, we change the way we feel. So my disease, I'm going to concentrate on one area, my sexual relations and how it's manifesting in my life today. I got clean up in New York. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I'm a transplant in Philadelphia. I have an NA sponsor. He's still up in Brooklyn. And like I said, I'm here by God's grace. And it says in our literature that some of us use our words to give thanks for God's grace. I know that I am not here by anything that I did by myself. I am graced. You know, it talks about in the Webster's Dictionary, the definition of grace is it was an unmerited favor. It was nothing I did by myself that got me yanked out of the nightmare that I existed in on 4/18/98. I was left in Building H in the Linden Housing Projects, taken to the hospital, the local hospital over there on the Van Wyck Expressway, left for dead. That was on April 11th. I spent 7 days in the hospital. I got sent out of there with a meeting list and a prayer. And I had a choice. It was a Saturday. They took me down to 5 milligrams of a drug replacement on the 17th. And on the 18th, I had 24 hours clean from all mind and mood altering substances. And I had a decision to make. Was I going to make the meeting or was I going to go cop? And God's grace, that unmerited favor, directed me. I went down the stairs to the meeting, and a guy was making coffee. He was 10 minutes early, and I came down those stairs, and he knew that I was in need of help. You know, please help me. And he stopped what he was doing. He took a few seconds out of his life to stop and embrace a newcomer. And what he did was he saved my life by making me feel comfortable enough to go sit down in the front row and never look back. And I never looked back until I did a fourth and I took a step five with my sponsor. And then we took a look back. And we'll get into that. So as a youngster, I grew up in a single parent household. My father went to prison when I was 12 and my mother was left to raise us. I have a brother and a sister. And my sister, 10 years my elder, she had some friends over and, I was about 13 years old. And her 23-year-old friend proceeded to seduce me, and we had sex. And I was about 13 years old. I thought it was great. You know what I mean? Getting laid at 13, you know what I mean? I'm just, like, getting that feeling in. I thought it was great at the time. To later find out when I took a look back in my step four inventory, sorting through the confusion and the controversy of my disease, that I was sexually molested and assaulted. And talking about the insanity in the different faces of this disease. It talks about in the step working guide, got it in the phone tonight. Insanity is a loss of our perspective and sense of proportion. All right? You see, I can't trust my perspective for anything. And I thought it was great, but it messed up my ability to get into a healthy relationship going forward. And where I stand today, after doing some work in this process, is that I found out that I was never truly in love with a woman up until this point. And it talks about, after we've been clean for a while, we may find a whole new level of denial is making it difficult to see the insanity in our lives. So here I stand tonight, fighting with the disease and manifestation in the form of smoking cigars, nicotine, you know what I'm saying? And you're like, what's he talking about? But they're killing me. You know, I got diagnosed in 09 with diabetes. You know, I wasn't feeling right. I went to the doctor. You know, they did some lab work. They said, you're sick. You got diabetes. You need to make some lifestyle changes. And I said, you got the wrong blood work, man. Them labs are wrong. It's somebody else. And the doctor said, no, you have diabetes and you need to take care of yourself. But so I smoked cigars, and up until Thursday coming down here, I had 19 days free and clean of smoking those cigars. And hold on, because I don't have it no more. I used. Yeah. So I had a bad lung infection, whatever, going into about 19, whatever it is now, 21 days ago, man, and I had to stop. You know, I couldn't physically bring the smoke in. So I had 19 days, and, you know, like, I decided to pick them up coming down here. You know, I've been coming down here for 17 years. I love this convention. It has made a great impact on my recovery, the celebration of our recovery. You know what I mean? That's what we do. And, you know, like the work in the program piece, going to meetings every day, going to work, being a productive member of society, doing service work in Narcotics Anonymous, communicate with my sponsor and my sponsees, you know what I mean? Step work, prayer, meditation, for me is all the work in the program piece. And when we come down here, you know, we cut loose and we celebrate our recovery. We celebrate. You know, that we gotta cut loose because I can't just make meetings all the time and burn out. I need to go to a convention every couple of months or maybe a couple times a month, depending on what's going on, you know what I mean? And come down here and celebrate the new way to live. You know what I mean? Our message is that an addict, you know, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And so I smoked the cigars, but why? You know what I mean? I know that I came to Narcotics Anonymous because I had a problem using drugs, right? But what led me to the drugs? You know what I mean? And talking about the manifestations, you know, my father went away. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of rage there early on, and it was... you know, to the streets, introduced to the drug early as a teenager, and it was using, and the street games, and no supervision in the household, you know what I mean, like dad wasn't there to show me how to catch a baseball, and all those things, and I used with the kids in the neighborhood who were in the same sociological situation as myself. You know, I'm not saying that that's why I used. I believe that the minute I was brought into this life, I was brought into this life with the disease of addiction, you know what I mean? But I started to use when that opportunity presented itself. But a lot of anger and rage and fighting coming up. And my father went away for a long time, you know, and I ended up getting clean in 98, and he was still away. And through our communications, he told me to keep me out of your fourth step. And he meant that. And we didn't have a relationship. And he passed away a few years ago, and we still didn't have a relationship. He watched, you know, from a distance. He watched me get together with a girl here, and we got married. And, you know, she had 30 days. I had 3 years. Now, I wouldn't suggest that to anyone, but we'll talk a little more about that. But what happened was he watched from a distance. I brought two children into this life, and they were a blessing in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, we lasted about 9 years, and we split up, and he stayed away. And I never got to make the wrongs right with my father, you know, and talking about the exact nature of my disease. He passed away, and there was more rage. He never got to meet my kids. He never chose or wanted to meet them. And I stuffed that, you know, talking about what brought me to the drug. And as of in the moment, the drug is nicotine and smoking cigars. And what happened was I would stuff those cigars in my mouth and smoke and smoke and smoke, talking about the many faces of this disease. And that's where I'm at with it. You know, I need to address that. My sponsor told me you picked up the cigars, but you're gonna stop again. You know what I mean? You're not just gonna start going on another run smoking nicotine. And it's late, but I'm gonna try to help somebody. It talks about in the Webster Dictionary perspective. The definition of perspective is the capacity to view things in their true relation or relative importance. And proportion, the definition is proper relations between things or parts. So I can't trust my perspective, right? But I want to get to the point when I was married, I got involved with this girl, 13 stepped her, and I got involved with her. She told me a little bit into it, I'm pregnant. And I said, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to show up for you and this child. And we ended up getting married. And I did not love this woman for the person that she was. I loved the idea of being responsible, having children, and showing up for them. But as the relationship went on, I didn't treat her or nourish the relationship like I should have, like normal people do, because I had no ability to love her because I didn't love myself. And one day she turned around and she asked for a divorce, and I was like, okay, you know, we'll get divorced. And we got divorced, and she left. I called my sponsor. I said, sponsor, she left. She took half, you know, the stuff out the crib. The kids are gone. It's quiet. It's lonely. And I want to use. You know what I mean? And this was year 11 in my recovery process. And he suggested to me, you know, he said, why don't you go out and get a dog instead of getting yourself into another sick relationship? And so I went out and I got this dog, right? I went down to the ASPCA and I got this dog, right? But, you know, I really didn't have the ability to care for the dog the way the dog should have been cared for. And the dog was a runner. Every time I left the front door open or dropped the leash, this dog would run. Like she was running on a jailbreak. And so the dog ran out onto the highway and got clipped by a car, thrown, and it was killed, right? So I'm sitting on Route 73 in New Jersey in the medium holding the dog, and I call my sponsor up again. And I'm like, the dog got hit by a car, man. What do I do? You know, and I'm crying. And he told me, he said, go get another dog. And you know what I mean? I got another dog instead of getting into a sick relationship. And this dog I still have, it's some years later, and I have the dog, and I'm learning, like, companionship, and I've been abstaining from sex, because from the time I got divorced, you know, I was tricking, you know, I had different hookers in and out of the place, acting out, but I wasn't in a relationship, but I was acting out, you know what I mean? And the dog, one night, grabbed up the hooker's shoe. She had this 8-inch stiletto. Chewed up the shoe because the dog didn't appreciate, you know, the girl in the house, right? The hooker comes out and starts to freak out about her shoe, and the dog starts hopping on the hooker's leg, right? And long story short is, I have over 3 years of abstaining from sex and practicing and tricking. All right, I had to go through my process, and I started to smoke cigars. It was the next thing. The disease of addiction is always trying to get an angle on me, and it is relentless. And smoking cigars, you know what I mean? But what the underlying issue is I'm lonely, man. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't been with somebody in a long time. But I'm not alone, you know what I mean? I have the fellowship in Narcotics Anonymous. I have the love of my sponsor, you know what I mean? I have the men in my life. And most importantly, I have God. You know, the God of my understanding is God to me, you know what I mean? And through sponsorship and the men in my life and Frankie Bones, you know, we strive to become more God-reliant than self-reliant. You know what I mean? To be obedient to the God of my understanding and to be a part of that relationship. And, you know, talking about the grace, to compound on the grace and to participate in the relationship. You know, and we do recover, you know what I mean? I understand, you know, that I need to put myself around men in this process that have deep relationships with the God of their understandings, which they do. And I stay close, you know what I mean? I love my sponsor. He is the one person in this life I trust like nobody else, you know what I mean? And he taught me when it's time to get into another relationship, you know, I'm a heterosexual, and he said, when you get into another relationship with a girl, he's like, you know, you want to look for someone that you can trust, like you trust like nobody else in the world, you know what I mean? You give her that trust, and if she does something that you lose the trust, you take it back, and we won't let you drown. But instead of going into a relationship and second guessing it, you know what I mean? I went through that with my marriage the whole time. You know, we were like the NA couple, you know what I mean? Everyone said, you guys have such a lovely relationship, you know what I mean? It looks great. And it was all facade. You know, we'd go to the meetings and everything, and everything, you know, take pictures. And what happened was, when we got into the car to go home, we would fight like a motherfucker in the car. You hugged on her too much. She was staring, you were staring at her, and it was sick. It was sick, but none of y'all know that. And you know what we do? You know, like, don't tell your sponsor. Don't tell your sponsor we're having problems. And, to add to the pain and the suffering in this process, about a year after we had gotten divorced, her sponsor calls up. She, you know, this is my story, my experience, strength, and hope. So the sponsor's like, yeah, Ted, this is so-and-so, I'm not going to break the girl's hand anymore. I'm just like, how you doing? You know, I was like, she ain't here anymore. You know, she's like, I know. And she's like, I got about 90 days clean. I'm just coming back, you know. Got a sponsor and a home group. She's like, but I need to talk to you about something. I need to make a 9-step amends with you. And I'm like, yeah, 90 days clean, right? You got 90 days. You still want to make a 9-step amends with me? So she went on to tell me that, I'm going to cut to the chase. She went on to tell me that for the last 2 years of my marriage, with my wife, that, you know, they were sleeping together, you know, they had a sexual relationship. She was cheating on me, man. And I'm sitting there, I'm on the phone, I'm, you know, I'm like, yeah, and I listened to her whole 9-step amends, and like, I'm visualizing, like, you know, shooting her in the vagina and fucking, you know what I mean, like, but through the process and through a relationship with the God of my understanding, you know what I mean, and my sponsor and our relationship, I ended the phone call with dignity. I thanked her for what she had to say. She said, well, what do you think? You know, after she was done with her spiel. And I was like, you know, thank you. Thank you for sharing with me. And you know, God bless you, and I wish you well in your recovery. But the pain and the hole in me was like, it fucking hurts, man. You know what I mean? In that area of my life, it just seems like one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. And like, what the fuck is wrong with me? You know what I mean? I'm doing the best that I can to do the right things for the right reason in this process. And these things keep happening. And then more work that has to be done. And, you know, I'm smoking cigars, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's where it's coming out. Or I'll lash out, you know, and I know better. You know what I mean? Like, the disease of addiction manifests in all different ways and means, different faces. And I have to stay in position to be able to do awareness. And I have to, you know, the disease will constantly work on me until it backs me into a corner that I can't get out of clean. So I'll go to my home group. I'll expose the disease, you know what I mean? And thank God for the addicts in the downtown area of Philadelphia and my home group, the Start to Live group. We just celebrated 29 years of service carrying the message. You know what I'm saying? Down on 3rd Street in Philadelphia. I love those people in my home group. And they listen to me and they support me. You know what I mean? And I keep coming back. You know? I just want to share one thing and I'm going to shut it down. He talks about it on page 112 in It Works How and Why. It's an 11-step chapter. It talks about God's will for us, collectively written by addicts. We wrote this stuff. And I got an 8th grade education, so my belief systems are all concentrated in the book and the new books. It Works How and Why and the Living Clean book. And it talks about, you know, throughout our step process to find out what God's will is for myself, seek out God's will, learn how to align my God's will, my will with my higher power's will. And it talks about it here. It says that we see that regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives, we can be content, we can be happy and fulfilled with or without money, with or without a partner, with or without the approval of others. That's deep. Because if you stand something around here, sometimes you fall for everything, right? And it also talks about competition. We're not in competition with each other. Recovery in Narcotics Anonymous is about living and dying. This ain't a fucking contest. You know what I'm saying? It's not about, like, service is a posture of the heart. Right. Carrying the message is important. It saves lives. But we ain't in competition with each other. Who's got, like, the slickest information? You know what I mean? Who flows more? I'm not the most elegant speaker, but I'm coming from my heart, and we should respect that and respect one another. Because we get caught up in these conventions thinking this is a fucking show. All right? I'm here to free myself. I'm here to free myself. And it says that. And by the way, you can't be everything to everybody in Narcotics Anonymous. Don't even, you know, I try not to be that. I just try to be me. You know what I mean? People won't like you for whatever it's where you're from. What you look like, God bless you. It also says that we begin to see that God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, all right? To love ourselves and others, to laugh and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. Our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. These priceless gifts are no longer beyond our reach. They are, in fact, the very essence of God's will for us. I'll go with the book. I'll go with our literature. I'll go with what we all collectively wrote, talking about God's will. And it talks about dignity. I have met the most dignified people in this life in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I'm saying? My sponsor, I shared about him a little bit. You know what I mean? I trust him more than anybody in this life. You know what I mean? The integrity of the men. You know what I mean? We respect each other, man. We help each other. We try to uplift each other. Guide and direct each other in the direction of aligning my will with God's will and doing the right things for the right reasons. Dignity. You know what I mean? So it's a little humiliating to expose the exact nature and talk about, you know, not being with a woman for X amount of years. Like, what the fuck's wrong with me? Well, I share with you all tonight what's wrong with me. You know what I mean? I got 17 years. In 2 days, I'm going to have 18 years. If I could bring my will and align it with God's will on April 18th, Monday, I will celebrate my 18th year in Narcotics Anonymous of continuous clean time. And then talking about the dignity, you know what I mean? I got to keep coming back, and I have to act accordingly and behave, you know. And I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me share.